So as we've just been discussing, Queensland National MPs got what they wanted yesterday, the federal government giving the final environmental approvals for the controversial Adani coal mine. Peter Van Onselen is Network 10's political editor. He's in our Parliament House studio this morning. Peter, hello there.
Good morning.
Well, at the 11th hour, the government has given the green light to Adani, and in doing so opened itself up, as we just heard, to allegations of political interference. The politics of this must be crystal clear, though, to the government in terms of benefits for the coalition, particularly in Queensland. It must have been overwhelming for them, I think, for them to do this in this last few days. What do you think?
Well, certainly overwhelming in Queensland, but it really is a catch-22 for them, because what benefits them around Adani in Queensland hurts them in states like certainly Victoria, but also South Australia as well, and perhaps even parts of Tasmania. But Victoria is really the focus there, because they've got anywhere between 3 and 9 seats that are in play in Victoria, depending on how good or bad things are come polling day. So a massive catch-22 whichever way they went. The reason, Fran, that I think that they jumped in that direction, you know, from a pure political perspective, is because the threats of disunity coming out of Queensland if they didn't approve it were greater than any behind the scenes threats of disunity coming out of Victoria, where the opposite is the reaction from MPs. So it's people like McGrath or Matt Canavan or indeed some of the maverick backbenchers within the LNP who sit on the National side. They were going to, if you like, scream louder if this wasn't approved than I think, as we're hearing now, which is only really a peep, out of Victoria, with the odd MP that is a bit concerned that this is going to make an already tough job down south even tougher.
It's a hell of a way to be making decisions, though. They don't think the public might write them down for that?
I want to be clear. I don't think that's the only thing in play here. There's a lot more in play here. There are genuine issues around environment v. jobs versus process.
Yep.
And I do think that the government have acted like adults on large chunks of that. But then when you get to the pointy end of that process where, you know, policy comes first, and we're so close to an election, suddenly, obviously, the politics is in play.
Okay. Peter, former Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull had some spectacular interventions yesterday. He described the coalition's attack over Labor's electric vehicles policy as peak crazy, but it was this intervention that really caused a splash.
Scott Morrison's the Prime Minister, and you can't wave this off and say it's all part of gossip and the bubble. This is the national security of Australia. I mean, remember the furor that arose about Senator Dastyari.
That was the former Prime Minister talking about the Four Corners revelation that Peter Dutton had had a lunch with the Chinese businessman Huang Zhengzhou. Is this Malcolm Turnbull still trying to settle scores with Peter Dutton, or a genuine concern about senior ministers having meetings with this Chinese businessman in particular, who was, after all, a major donor to both sides?
Well, I think there are legitimate concerns in the space, but what I think is motivating Malcolm Turnbull is spite over what Peter Dutton did to him and his government. I mean, Dutton didn't ultimately attain the prime ministership for himself, but he did blow up Malcolm Turnbull's prime ministership, and I think he saw his opportunity for a whack around something that he has a genuine view on, and off he went. But boy, he did not miss, you know, and he hit Scott Morrison on the way
through. Sure,
I mean, talk about friendly fire, use of that word bubble, something has to be done, the exact opposite of what we then heard from the prime minister on this issue. It was the least helpful intervention, I think, that he could have had, and badly timed, as we're so close to the election.
And now we've had this news, a revelation in the newspapers that Christopher Pyne has had a meeting with this businessman too, Huang Zhengmo. We also know, thanks to the ABC reporting in the past, that Huang Zhengmo paid $55,000 for a fundraising lunch with Bill Shorten in the past. Some of these interventions, not all of them, in the time after, we know that leaders of both parties were warned by ASIO and others to take care around dealings with this person. Is it time, do you think, for every politician who's had a meeting with Huang Zhengmo just to put their hand up?
Oh, look, I think the problem with that is it'd be a shorter approach and an easier option just to get the MPs that haven't met with him to put their hands up. I think most of the parliament seems to have had some time hanging out with the guy. I mean, I used footage last night in my package on 10 after the Malcolm Turnbull intervention, which then showed Malcolm Turnbull and Craig Laundy and others with this fellow. So, you know, it's pretty pervasive that people have been meeting with him. But as you say, the most concerning part of the meetings post the ASIO briefing, it means that people either weren't hearing the briefing, didn't care care about it or perhaps were aloof to it. And that's the problem here, I think, in terms of timing. And then obviously the public in perceptions. There's the issue around foreign interference, which I think is one thing, but also this raises the spectre of buying access yep. to politicians, you know, and it's not that it's illegal. It's that it probably should be, quite frankly. I think, you know, most
our
of us look at
this. Our rules need to be tighter. I mean, they are not tight enough.
I hate to use this phrase because politicians do it, but it doesn't pass the pub test. You know, people look at this and say, hang on a second, why do you get such access for donations, whether it's directly to a lobbyist who has the access through their past connections or whether it's direct through political donations? I mean, I have to say this, Fran, I know we're almost out of time, but I tell you what, at these party conferences, they even, both major parties do this, they have these lineups where business people pay money to then work their way through ministers or shadow ministers and to meet with them. It's so untoward. And the politicians don't like it. They actually really despise it. I think I can say this now. Joe Hockey, when he was a minister, before he left politics, expressed this disdain to me in some detail when I was doing a long-form paper about it. They hate it. They hate it because it chews up their time and they know that it just doesn't look very good.
Yeah, speed dating for funds. Peter, thank you very much.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen, Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA, and one of our regular political commentators.